The summer produce aisles in American supermarkets have a hidden cost item that you might not be aware of. Much of the produce from the agricultural giant south of our border, Mexico, is harvested by day laborers who work the fields on the move from harvest to harvest, working under the worst possible conditions. To see if these workers could find a way to advocate for better conditions and to show the human costs of summer produce in the U.S., Vice News took a look at the workers in the fields of Mexico. An estimated 2 million nomadic farmhands paid almost nothing, with children as young as 10 born into a life of modern-day slavery. Monica Villamizar is Vice News correspondent and says these workers bring all kinds of crops to market.
Well, John, what's really interesting about this is that day laborers are sort of internal migrants, if you will. So they travel from state to state following precisely the crops. So say when there's, you know, strawberry season, they will go to Baja California. If it's tomato season, they go to Sinaloa, and so on and so forth. I mean, you have eggplants, cucumbers, tomatoes, chili peppers. They are such a big breadbasket, if you will, that some of it is consumed internally, but most of it makes it away to the United States across the border.
And with the drought in California, which of course has been the breadbasket for so much produce in the United States, there's even greater pressure in Mexico. And you can see that pressure on the ground. I'm going to play a bit of tape that really describes some of the conditions that you found there.
Hola. Chata. ¿Puedes abrir? No puedes abrir.
It's really horrible. I mean, if there was a fire or anything happened, these kids would die unless they managed to break the lock. Someone managed to break the lock. The little girl wants to get out, and it's extremely hot. So they're just locked there in this extreme heat.
Monica, is this a prison for kids while their parents are in the fields?
Well, John, it's really a tragic situation because some towns are very small and they don't have the logistics to accommodate so many migrant workers, day laborers that you know, arrive there hoping to get some work in the field. So there's makeshift hotels, if you will. There's just basically rooms for rent, which don't meet any safety standards. It's basically some shacks. And the mothers and fathers have to work. And when their kids are too small, a lot of them, what we're finding, are leaving them in these rooms. Because they fear for their safety, they end up locking them in the rooms. So that scene you played is a very sad part of our reporting when we found there was a family of children locked in a room. We stayed around and the mother eventually came, opened the lock and, you know, saw them. But it was, you know, the neighbors were quite concerned with this situation of just children being locked up there. And because the people who collect rent from these rooms or these, you know, type of ad hoc hotels don't have any license and you know, are basically don't want to tell authorities that people are living there. It's all very much like underground back alley type of thing. And it just makes the situation all the more dangerous for the children.
Enduring these kinds of conditions is the norm, as you discovered it. And people who hire these workers don't give a lot of sympathy to the human conditions that these workers do endure, which they accept because they have really no choice. Listen to this.
Les gusta, los tratan bien, jálense. Si no me gusta, no me trataron bien, pum, me voy a la fuga porque no puedo estar esclavizado. ¿Verdad? El que guste y el que quiera irse, ¿verdad?
So it's an interesting sort of structure because it's an informal system, but it's very much, there is kind of a chain of command, if you will, in this informal system. They have someone called like a contractor, which is more like a sort of human smuggler, if you will. The equivalent would be a human smuggler, who is a person who goes around offering sort of packages to these workers. And the packages are, if you come with me to this field, you know, the owner will give you food, for example, you can stay there, they'll feed you, but you have to work these hours and that, you know. So a lot of times these deals end up being true, but a lot of times they're lies. And these people are essentially the ones in charge of collecting all the day laborers from the squares where they're, you know, hanging out in the morning and convincing them to come with them to work for their bosses.
Do you consider these working conditions slavery? Do the workers have any option of organizing? And how come this isn't covered in treaties between the U.S. and Mexico?
Well, that's a great question, John. Slavery, I think I mean, under the definition of modern day slavery, some of these practices would definitely qualify as that. There's no doubt about it. For example, you know, workers sometimes when they're in these camps where they live and have to work the fields and you know, are sort of have to live there. Sometimes their documents get taken away so they can't really leave. They have to purchase food from the stores that are owned by the same owner so they can put prices up and they have kind of no other choice. And they do have a system where they're indebted all the time. Not only are conditions very bad, but, you know, they can't move and choose and have any type of free will. So, yes, in a sense, you know, there are so many conditions that resemble slavery or the modern version of slavery, obviously. Why is this not covered in treaties? I just think a lot of companies in the United States ignore that these practices are taking place in Mexico. The Mexican law also condemns and bans these practices, but they don't enforce them. And that's something, there's kind of an interesting loophole there. When we asked, authorities would say, we do carry out inspections, but we have to notify the fields first. That gives them time to prepare and sort of, you know, clean shop and show the inspectors what they want to show.
And the best these workers are doing is $7 a day in the fields. The human cost of produce from Mexico showing up at supermarkets in the United States. Monica Villamizar, Vice News correspondent, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.